A Guide to Bars and Nightlife in the Sacred City is a collection of short stories from a 51-city tour taken by local author Benjamin Wax. West Lafayette Public Library Director Nick Schinkel reads from the book and has this review.
I first discovered the Sacred City just before the turn of the millennium, when I was a freelance nightlife reporter for Playboy.com. I was traveling across America and then Europe and then Russia and then the Middle East, waking up each morning not knowing which city I would fall asleep in. I would dream of Venice before drinking at Belgian bars and have visions of Jerusalem and Prague. Cities became pieces of a jigsaw puzzle, connecting in ways that you could not see on a map. If God is in all of us, then there is more diversity in a city of 10 million souls than there is in Stonehenge, the pyramids, or a sliver of the True Cross. Cities pulse with rough love, unevenly spaced over boulevards and across alleys. If we tape enough heartfelt wishes on streetlights and leave enough dreams on the curb, anything can happen. Millions of souls in crowded neighborhoods praying beneath the surface of their daily lives lead to manifestations of the miraculous and infernal just around the corner. This is the Sacred City. Well, so opens A Guide to Bars and Nightlife in the Sacred City by Ben Wax. Our author is a fellow whose roots are deeply local and, as we just heard, a fellow who's traveled the world with the fruit of his travels blossoming forth in this wonder-filled, often fanciful collection of short stories. These are tales that put an accent on the witty, the sharp, on surprising twists and turns. Well reading for all that and for more. About that title, Guide to Bars and Nightlife in the Sacred City, this certainly is a collection of tales from the modern city, urban themed with all the grit, surprise, and small wonders that urban implies. The stories in Guide to Bars and Nightlife are set in cities as diverse in geography and cultural ethos as San Francisco, Chicago, upstate New York, Moscow, Venice, somewhere on the Yangtze. This is truly an international collection. Quirky, spot-on observations of urban centers in which these stories are set dot the text. This is not a collection for those new to the world in which we live, but it can be savored and ought to be savored by those of us who have a bit of experience under our belts. As other reviewers have noted, it is the people in Wax's stories who take center stage. As one reviewer wrote, quote, "Place is important here, but sacred geography is merely the trope for what's really explored in the book. Wax's concern isn't so much the geography of the earth, but the geography of the soul," end quote. And so the characters we meet and often fall in love with, if only for a short while, these are short stories, are contemporaries of ours, people who run across or sometimes into the sometimes bizarre facets of human behavior that are magnified through the ever-changing lens of urban life. These are people who share their deepest emotions and insights into life with us immediately, as is required with shorter stories, but that sharing doesn't come to us as forced or as voyeuristic. Take, for example, the unnamed narrator who stops to help out a homeless fellow he and his friends come across in this story. Those friends urge him to move on in typical big city fashion. Our narrator takes an interest in the homeless fellow, and a bizarre yet real-life tableau is the result. As Ben Wax writes, "The homeless guy asks us for money so he can buy a sandwich. Says he hasn't eaten in days. And Jay says, 'Come on, man, if you want booze, you just tell us. You want us to buy you booze.' Jay likes to think he's a real straight talker. And the guy goes, 'Please, you can't let me get any hungrier.' Just like that. Just like there's some kind of rule that says it is illegal for a man to get any hungrier than this. And I remember thinking, wow, that's a straight talker. So it's a Saturday night, and it's not like we have any place special to go because the best party's being thrown by Ted's ex-girlfriend. And we ended up on the wrong side of that breakup. And Jay says, 'Okay, man, how about we buy you a sandwich? You want that? We buy you a sandwich, and then we get to watch you eat it so we know that you were really that hungry.' And Ted says that's juvenile, like making him dance for spare change or something. But I'm thinking, hey, at least he gets fed, right? So the old guy nods, and Ted says, okay, and we ask where we're going to buy this guy a sandwich. And Jay, now he's all magnanimous, he's not just going to buy him a dog from a street cart. He says, we'll go up two blocks and over one to the gourmet sub shop that's open late, and we'll buy this guy something he wants off the menu. Says it like he's buying him a house. I mean, come on, it's just an overpriced sandwich. Set you back $10 on a drinking night. That's what you get an attitude about? So we start walking up the block, and I'm already kind of pissed about this because the corner of Alexander East has bars everywhere and the crowds are big. And there's a lot of sweet University of Rochester girls. And here we are walking around with this dirty old homeless guy. We're getting all the wrong kind of looks. So the point is, yeah, I wasn't paying attention to a word the guy said when he started to mumble because I'm thinking I could be hooked up right now. But then Ted says, did you hear what he just said? And James says, what? And Ted says, the old guy just perfectly articulated the Riemann hypothesis. And I ask what that is, and Ted tells me to shut up because the old guy is still talking. And it sounds like gibberish to me. I don't think he's even saying words. And it turns out I'm right, because Ted says he just gave the formula for Boltzmann's transport equation, which I think I studied in high school, but I don't remember what it was. But Ted's big in the sciences and makes big money in a research lab. And now Ted's just getting really excited as the older guy keeps mumbling. And he's not even checking to see if we're paying attention. And we weren't, but we are now. And I guess it's okay, because by that point, we've passed all the good bars and hopefully no one remembered us. Well, the men and women who narrate these stories, as we just heard, speak to us from their experience with life and often come at us from their edgier sides. There's a reason this book is entitled Guide to Bars and Nightlife, as we meet folks whose lives revolve around the darker experiences of daily life. Yet these same characters speak with not all of us, as if we've known each other for years and years, not as if we just met. How ironic it would be if we were to actually meet these folks in a downtown bar or a bus stop where we know urban folk all tend to be more closed off than voluble. Well, I've said before that short stories are the popcorn of my reading life. By their very nature, short stories can and ought to be read in one or two gulps. But like popcorn, the best of them are addictive in their insistence and their demand that we read more and more and more of them. Many of these stories, which fit well into my favored sudden short fiction collections, go ye and read some of those if you haven't already favored yourself by doing that. Like in those sudden fiction short stories, very few of these stories in A Guide to Bars and Nightlife in the Sacred City are more than a few pages long. And yet, they pack emotional and thought-provoking wallops that are belied by their brevity. Let me finish my review of this surprising find by quoting from a fellow reviewer who wrote of Guide to Bars and Nightlife in the Sacred City, quote, I don't exaggerate when I say I wish there were more writers like this. I love his unwavering commitment to the strange and unreal, his economy with words, his open, unironic sense of wonder. He lets the uncanny be uncanny, even if his narrators try sometimes to be sarcastic about it. He lets his stories end still buds in the reader's mind, trusting that they will flower in those brain pans given just a bit of time, end quote. I hope you'll join me and the others who have savored the stories in this book and discover your own personal favorite or favorites in this smorgasbord collection. Let's finish, and I hope you'll go back and read the rest of what happens to that old fellow who's mumbling these bizarre theorems. Let's finish, however, with the concluding short story in Ben Wax's collection. It's entitled Journey, and it goes a little bit like this. My grandfather was the pastor of a small congregation in Brooklyn. Everybody he knew and loved could be found in a 10-block radius. When someone moved to Manhattan, it broke his heart. When someone moved to Long Island, they were dead to him. I asked him once, Grandpa, how can you love a God who is present in the stars of distant galaxies, billions and billions of light years away? He told me that Grandma's kitchen is really the center of the universe, and that all miracles begin by simmering on her stove. I know I broke my parents' heart when I moved away, but where Grandpa had roared at the end of the world, they whimpered. Went to school in Los Angeles and eventually moved to Brooklyn. I got lucky. I have a rent-controlled loft space. I'm trying to get attention for my multimedia quilting. I hang long quilts from the rafters and then project video on them from nooks in the wall. If I make a quilt of a journey across the mountains, the video image will be different people crossing those quilted mountains. The space worked out exactly so that they nearly fall off the ravines and have to cover their heads under the storm clouds and shiver when they reach the snow-capped top. It's hard for an artist to get attention. When I talk to my parents, they don't understand when I tell them that I don't really trust anyone I know. They just don't process that. I don't know what else I'd do, though. I mean, if I wasn't an artist, then what? My grandpa's church is gone, an early victim of gentrification, before people knew how to stop it. The old neighborhood replaced by condos. At night, I can open one of my windows and crawl out on top of another building's roof and stare at the space where his church used to be, 14 blocks away. I look up at the sky, but there are no stars. I have so much passion and no idea of what I'm doing with my life. From the concluding story in A Guide to Bars and Nightlife in the Sacred City, it's a delightful romp through modern urban America, and more than delightful, it's also thought-provoking. What a collection of tales by local author Benjamin Wax. And it's available at many of our fine local libraries, including, of course, the West Lafayette Public Library.
That was West Lafayette Public Library Director Nick Schinkel. You can find other book reviews by Nick Schinkel on our website at wbaa.org.